letter to the Corinthians, Paul's letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and we're going to look at chapter number 12. Second Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to plant our minds from verse 7 through verse 10. Second Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse number 7. We're going to end at verse number 10. When you have it, let me hear you say amen. I'm going to ask Elder.
Altogether, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading.
Amen. Let's pray together. Father, the hour is come again that your son Jesus and Jesus alone must be lifted up. For Jesus said, and if I am lifted up, I, Jesus, will draw men or women, all boys and girls unto me. So lift Jesus up right now. May Jesus be seen clearly. May Jesus be heard and understood without any ambiguity. When this experience shall have come to a pause, may Jesus be honored. May Jesus be obeyed, for thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory forever. And the people of God say amen, amen, and amen. While you're sitting down, do me a favor. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you are selected for glory thorn. I want to talk about being selected for glory thorn. We are continuing a series of messages that is intended to encourage us and to give us the fervor and the passion, the focus to stay with Christ despite what we are going through. It is difficult, as I said last week, to take a portion of a letter and read it and glean from it the focus of that letter if you have not read the whole letter. I wish I had time to spend with you giving you the outline of what Paul's second letter to the church of Corinth is. It will take a series by itself to flesh out that outline and to help you understand why Paul wrote this letter. But what I can say, my brothers and sisters, is Paul wrote this letter to a church that was dealing with several issues. One of the key issues was that there were people in that church who had fallen to sin. And there were others who refused to reconcile them back to God. If the truth be told, since you and I give our lives to Christ, if we were just to open the closet just a little bit, we will confess that we haven't been so perfect. That we all, even after our public commitment to follow Jesus all the way, we've had occasions where we slipped up. Occasions where we did something that was not representative of a child of God. The problem with church folk, though, is that we categorize sin. So we have sins that we do that are good sin. I wish I had some help up in here. And sin that others do that are bad sin. And so those who do good sin should be winked at, should be given another chance, should be forgiven. But those with the bad sin, they should be written off. So Paul was writing to deal with this issue that God has reconciled us to himself and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. The second issue was that there were preachers. Everybody said preachers. Who called themselves super apostles. Who were coming behind Paul and putting Paul down and exalting themselves to the people with the intention of fleecing the people. Matter of fact, they said, because Paul did not ask you for any gifts, because Paul did not ask you to do his pastor's appreciation, because Paul did not ask you to sow a seed. I wish somebody was listening to me. Paul is not really a true apostle. But we, the super apostles, we who have given ourselves titles of bishop, the right reverend doctor, God has sent us to you, and God cannot speak to you because you are not as close to God as we are. So we want you to treat us like little gods. I wish somebody was listening to me. So that we can help God help you. Now, I don't know about you, but if you watch television this week, if you got any YouTube channel this week, we're not living in a different time from Paul. Matter of fact, it is sad to say that there are people who will take advantage of this situation that God's people are going through and make them feel like the reason they lost their homes or their house was flooded or this happened and that happened was when the preacher, the super apostle, got up and said, it is time to sow $779. They refused to sow that seed. And so this is the result of their disobedience. And now that you've lost your house, now that the flood has taken you from your comfort zone, if you want to get back on your feet, you need to be obedient now. And just like people were gullible during Paul's time, so are we gullible today. So Paul is preaching, or he is sending this letter to the church of Corinth. Matter of fact, in that letter, he begins to pit himself against these super apostles. He said, are they Hebrews? He said, I am more. Are they apostles? He said, please allow me to be a little foolish today, because what I have, I didn't get by myself. It is God that gave it to me. But since these super apostles are making you believe that because of some certificate or diploma on their wall, because of some robe they wear, and because of the way they talk when they are preaching, Lord Jesus, Lord Almighty, you think that they got more God than I do. He said, let me tell you about my accomplishments. He said, not only am I a Jew, not only am I an apostle, he said, but I have suffered more for the cause of Christ than they can ever think about suffering. He said, I was beating 5 times. With 39 lashes. He said 40 minus one. He said 3 times they beat my back with rods. He said I was shipwrecked several times. He said my own brothers tried to kill me. He said I have suffered for the cause of Christ. And if anybody got a reason to boast, I got all the reason. He said, but I am not boasting about who I am, but about who he is. And now we get to chapter 12, Paul's letter to the Corinthians. And he said, I'm going to tell you about a man who happens to be Paul himself. But he goes back into the spirit of humility. He said, this man was taken into the third heavens. He said, whether it was in a vision or whether it was reality, I really can't tell. He said, but this man was taking into vision, and in this vision, God showed this man things that no normal man has the power to speak of. And it is from this idea of this vision that Paul proposes, my brothers and sisters, that those of us who go through trials and temptations and problems are not necessarily going through it because we did something wrong. Paul says, most of us, God's children, who go through what we are going through are going through it because God selected us. Paul now shifts gear and begins to talk about why those who are selected for glory thorns should be thankful for that selection. The first thing that Paul shares with us in this passage of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse number 7 through 10, is the prerogative of the divine. Everybody said the prerogative of the divine. Paul said, let me tell you this, that God has the right. God has the power. God has the authority. And God has all of the privileges to do whatever he wants to do with you. Because you are his creation. Somebody understood what Paul was saying one time and they decided to take Paul's idea and place it in music language that said he's sovereign. The Lord our God is sovereign. He can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants. Paul says God has a divine prerogative to do whatever he wants to do. He says, not only should we understand and accept the fact that you and I cannot dictate to God, that you and I cannot tell God how we want him to use us, but that God has the right and the power and the authority, the license to choose who he wants to use and who he does not want to use. Paul says, God's prerogative leads to the privilege of the selected. Somebody said the privilege of the selected. Paul says, God has selected certain people, elder, that he desires to use in a way that will blow their mind. He says, he has given me an abundance of revelation. Now he doesn't give this to everybody. But he chooses who he wants to give it to and who he does not want to give it to. Now, here's the problem, my brothers and sisters. You better be careful what you pray for. Because you just might get it. See, a lot of us are envious of others because of their selected privilege by God. There is nowhere there where you can see more envying than in the church of the living God. Did I just say that? Why didn't they select me during the nominating committee? Why didn't they appoint me? Why they're always choosing them? Why did they see? Here's the thing. What you don't understand is your selection may be a privilege, but the privilege of selection comes with a pain. See, a lot of us want the privilege, but we don't want the pain that comes with the privilege. We all want to be pastors. But we don't want to wake up 3 o'clock in the morning when the people that we are pastoring need us and put on our clothes and find our way to their homes. We don't want to be there when they are hurting. We don't want, we want the pastor's appreciation. But when they need us, we designate somebody else to go take care of what we should be doing. And see, that's the problem that Paul had with this church, because Paul was ministering to this church without asking for anything in return. These super apostles came and started looking down at Paul. If I am the bishop and the senior pastor, I don't do funerals. I don't visit the sick. I just preach in the pulpit, and I got other junior pastors to do that. And made the people think that because they are cocky and stuffed up and put themselves on a a platform and think they are better than other people that God has called, they are more righteous than the people God has sent them to serve. And so we see the prerogative of the divine. God's right to choose you and put you into position. We see the privilege, the revelation of God that is given to a selected people, but then we see the pain of the privilege. What is the pain, Paul said? A thorn in my flesh. I just want to warn you, you who want God to give you privileges, that you cannot have a crown without a cross. That there can be no praise without pain. There can be no testimony without first going through a test. There can be no leading without first being willing to follow. And the higher the elevation, the hotter the devil that will come after you. Paul says, God give me the privilege of a revelation, but that privilege came with the pain of a thorn. And who is the plotter and the permit giver for that pain? Paul says it is Yahweh himself. See, let me tell you something. We're always blaming the devil for everything. We give the devil more power than he deserved, more authority than he deserved. Now, I got a sermon. I'm just going to give you an idea. I got a sermon called, Is It Your Crop or Your Cross? See, you're going to go through stress and hell as a Christian if you can separate your crop from your cross. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm glad you asked. Your crop is that thing that you sowed that came back during harvest time. See, the Bible says you will reap what you sow. What it means is you will reap the same type of what you sow. But what it doesn't mean is you will reap the same amount, because I'm not an agriculturalist. I haven't done any farm, but I got common sense to know that if you plant a seed of corn, you get a whole head with several ears of corns on it. So you never get back the same amount that you sow. You get triple what you sow. So you better watch how you talk to your mama and your daddy. You better watch how you talk to your boss. You better watch how you talk to some other child of God. Because what you're doing is you're actually sowing seeds. And every time we sow, there's a harvest time. Crop comes back. And most of us, if the truth be told, are reaping our crop. But then there are some of us, bless God, that are carrying our cross. And see, you and I have nothing to do with the cross. The cross is strictly plotted and permitted by God. God says to Paul, because of the abundance of the revelation. Oh, I wish somebody would hear me. In other words, because of what I plan to do through you, because of the height that I want to take you to, I have plotted and permitted a perpetrator. Somebody say a perpetrator. The perpetrator is, watch this, not Satan, but a messenger of Satan. See, that's why I don't get mad at people when they're cutting up and acting crazy. Because I know who they are. Turn to your neighbor and say they are just messengers. See, the God that I serve has already made a promise to you and I that he will never give us no more than we can bear. So God will never send the devil after us. The only person that is in scripture that God sent the devil after was Job. Now, let me tell you, none of us in here is Job. Don't you get holy on me. But what he does is he understands that we are not Job. He understands that we cannot handle what Job handled. So he doesn't send the devil after us. He sent one of the devil's imps, a messenger. Paul says he sent a messenger. The messenger was the perpetrator, but God was the plotter and the permit giver. What is the purpose of this thorn? Paul says, so that I am not exalted above measure. In other words, God is putting a thorn in my flesh to keep me balanced. Now watch this. He didn't say so that I am not exalted. Oh no, God wants us to enjoy the privileges of service. But see, when we start enjoying it to the point where all of a sudden we need a $60 million jet, turn to your neighbor and say, that's exalting above measure. You got 15 Rolls Royces. You get rid of a $5 million home and buy a $10 million home. You know, I that blew my mind. Several years ago, I saw a preacher in Ebony Magazine in the Dallas area sold a $5 million home to purchase a $10 million home. And I had to ask myself, what is in the bedroom or the kitchen, the living room, the garage of a $10 million home that is not in a $5 million home? Unless you are being exalted above measure. Unless you're beginning to feel that what God is doing through you to bless his people is something that you are doing by yourself and you want to be like God. So God says to Paul, because of what I plan to do through you and what I am doing through you by the revelation and the knowledge that I am giving to you that I'm not giving to anybody else, he said, I have made a decision to send the messenger of Satan after you so that he can put a thorn in your flesh to buffer you. The idea of the buffer, my brothers and sisters, is like a ship that is on sail on a wild, rough ocean. Port side is buffered, and port side is buffered, and front is buffered, and back. If you ever been on a cruise in a bad weather, you know what I'm talking about. That wind is blowing from this end and that end and this end and that end, and all you can do is look up and say, God, would you please come get us out of here? Paul says, not only did the city get messed up, police shooting civilians, civilians shooting police. We ain't got no peace in here. We are praying, and then all of a sudden, a flood comes. We don't have nowhere to go. I wish somebody was listening to me. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's the messenger of Satan. Buffering. Throwing us around from pillar to post. Oh, but the child of God, who understands that because of the revelation that God has allowed this to happen, will be able to walk with their head up, walk with a smile on their face. Because God says, I'm putting you through this so that you can be able to reach somebody for me. I was talking to a friend sometime this week, and she told me, she said, Pastor, I'm praying for your eyes because I know God can heal you. And I said, I know that too, sister, but where do you get all that faith? She said, Pastor, you don't know. You were talking to a 2 times a cancer survivor. She said, they say I should have been dead 18 years ago. They gave me a few months to live. They told me I couldn't have a child. But Pastor, not only did I have one, I had 2, and it's been over 18 years I'm living. I said, that's glory thorn, because God said 18 years from today, you will meet a pastor who will be losing his eyes and will be a little discouraged, and he needs to hear, no, not from another preacher, but he needs to hear from somebody who has gone through. I wish somebody would listen to me. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's glory thorn. See, the thorn that you are going through, my brothers and sisters, is glory thorn. It's intended for you to show the glory of Yahweh, who will pick you up out of that mud. When everybody thinks there's no comeback for you, you can look at them and say, I may be down now, but this setback is a setup for a big comeback for Jesus. Is there anybody in this place? God said, don't blame the devil for this one. He said, I'm sending it to you because I know what I want to do through you. Brian, I know how you're going to love after you come out of this flood. I know how you're going to treat that house after you get it fixed and get a new one. I know how you're going to, because see, before I brought the flood, people had to take their shoes off. Now, you know, I haven't been to none of y'all homes, so turn to your neighbor and say, he's just preaching. Yeah, you treated that home like it was better than life itself. So God said, messenger of Satan, that's my child, and I got a purpose and a plan for them, and I know that they're going to do that plan, but they're getting a little too cocky. They don't move to the suburbs. They don't act like they came from where they came from. So put a thorn in their flesh to bring them back to balance. Go and reset the thermostat so that they can have a normal temperature again. So we have the prerogative of the divine God, who can do whatever he wants to do when he wants to do it, with who he wants to do it. We got the privilege of the selected God, who chose you particularly because he has a work for you to do. We have the pain for the privilege, that thorn in your flesh to keep you humble and keep you balanced and keep you down to earth, no matter how high God lifts you up. We have the purpose for the pain. We have the perpetrator. And now we have to plead. Everybody said to plead. Paul said, I couldn't understand this. He said, I went to God the first time. It was a prayer meeting. I said, brethren, I'm wrestling with something. You know how we act in church. We don't want nobody to know what we're going through. We come to church, but we come hiding. So please pray for me. Oh, sister, what's going on? No, it's okay. Just pray for me. Somebody say first time. So God acting like he didn't know what was going on. He said, after a few weeks, he went back. This time, he didn't just go to prayer meeting, but he called a few of the elders. And he between me and you, please don't tell the church. Pastor, I'm just talking to you because I know you're the man of God. Somebody says second prayer. All this stuff is getting hot now. It's gone from please pray for me to a few people knowing, but ain't nothing happening. Now the whole church on Wednesday night. Brethren, my son Bubba, my daughter, my husband, my wife, everything is out now because push has come to shove, you know. And God said, Paul, let me tell you why I didn't answer you the first time, the second time, or the third time. He said, I've heard the plea, but I have a provision. Somebody say a provision. What is the provision, God? Paul, God said, Paul, I'm not going to take this thorn from you, but I'm going to give you sufficient grace. Nah, you don't understand it. See, he didn't say, I'm going to give you grace. He said, I'm going to give you sufficient. It's not going to be no more, and it's not going to be no less. It's going to be just enough. Oh, I wish somebody was listening to me. The grace that I'm going to give you, Paul, is going to be just enough to keep you where I need you to be so I can use you the way I want to use you so that my name can be glorified, the people can be edified, and the devil can be horrified. So, Paul, be satisfied. He said, I'll give you sufficient grace. I know there are three people in here who can say, Pastor, if I had that mic, I'll testify. Because I've been where Paul is. And I've had the experience of sufficient grace. Is there two people in here who can say, God, you have given me sufficient grace? Oh, Berean, I stopped by to tell you this afternoon that God has heard your prayer. He knew that flood was coming. He saw you praying, saying, God, don't let the water rise no more than where it is. But he didn't stop it. He allowed it to happen, not because you did something wrong, not because you are evil, but because God is getting ready to do something awesome in your life. And the only way he can do it is if he keeps that fall in your flesh with sufficient grace for you to look back and say, I don't know about tomorrow, but it may come with this or that, but I know who holds the future, and he holds my hand. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know he holds my hand. And so because of the provision that God made, Paul says, I got to step out in my praise. He said, now that I understand that this is not happening because I missed my tithe 1 month. Now that I understand that this is not happening because I did something wrong, because I did something God didn't want me to do. Now that I understand that God is setting me up to be a bright light in this city, in this community, in my neighborhood, on my job, at my school. Now that I understand that there's a revelation that God will give me, and there is a position that God will place me that nobody else will be able to do. I can now praise God in the midst of what I'm going through. Is that two people in here who can say, God, use me like you want to? Paul said, now I can gladly praise him in my infirmities. He said, now I can accept the fact that that house got flooded because it had nothing to do with the house. It had everything to do with what God is getting ready to do through me. I wish two church folk would just get happy up in here. See, when you understand that what you are going through, it may not be a flood. It may not be some situation on your job. It may be a divorce. It may be a child that died. It may be a wife that's sick. It may be some problem that you're having in your own body. But once you understand that God is doing this so that he can pump me with sufficient grace so that when I stand up in the midst of suffering people, hurting people, someone who's lost everything, I can say to them, there is no secret what God can do. If he's done it for me, he can do it for you. Then I want God to use me like he wants me to be. Paul said, I praised him. I lift him up. I worship him. Because now I'm clear on what God is doing. This got nothing to do with my insurance company. This got nothing to do whether I got flood or no flood. FEMA ain't got nothing to do with this. This is all about me and God and how much he loves me to have selected me. You know and I know there were people in the neighborhood that you live in that didn't get flooded. You know why they didn't get flooded? Because they couldn't handle it. It's not because they were better than you. It's because God looked at them and said, no, not her. No, not him. I'm talking about the selection. No, not her. Yes. This one, devil, send your messenger. Because after she's gotten flooded, after FEMA denies her, after she's been out of her home, living in somebody else's house, after she's been in an uncomfortable position, she will still lift her hand and say, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. Is there two people in here who can say, come on, flood. Come on, FEMA. Come on, whatever. Come on, sickness. Come on, eye problem. Because God has selected me. And because he has selected me, he will give me sufficient grace to be able to go through this. So that others can see my life and be saved. Is there two people in here who can get up on their feet and say, God, I bless you for selecting me. God, I thank you for choosing me. God, I thank you for making it happen to me. God, I bless you because you know what you are doing. And because you know what you are doing, I will. You were selected for glory thorn. Don't let anybody make you feel like this happened because you didn't pay your tithe, because you missed two Sabbaths. Because you were selected because God is getting ready to do something through you that will blow your mind. But it'll only happen when you begin to bless him. Because he will take you from the miry clay, plant your feet on solid rock to stay. He will lift you up and carry you in his hands. And on that day, when we make it to the kingdom, and the books are open, and we begin to look at all the trials we went through, he will point us to August 13th. And he'll say, you see this? I did it to get you here today. Who believed the word of God? Who believed the word of God? Our Father and our God, we thank you, we bless you, we praise you, we give you glory. Oh God, we thank you for glory thorns, but we thank you for sufficient grace. God, I pray for your people. I pray, God, that when they leave here today, they will leave thanking you for selecting them and not somebody else. I want to make an appeal today. If you are in this place and you've been confused about this tragedy, you've been grappling with it, asking God, why, Lord? How come? And this word God has spoken in your spirit, and you've received it, and you want to leave here today saying, God, I understand it clearly now, and I'm committed to living for you. If you are here, I ask you to stand. I ask you to stand. God, I understand it now. God, I understand it now. God, I thank you for the revelation. I thank you for what you're about to do. I thank you for how you're going to do it. I thank you for sufficient grace. My second appeal is, you've been coming here, you've been worshiping with us, you haven't made your calling and election sure. You know about Jesus, but you don't know him as your Savior. You haven't made a commitment, and you are here. I want you to raise your hand. You want to say, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I've heard enough about you. Jesus, I want to follow you all the way. If you're here, just raise your hand. We'll bless God for you. We'll bless God for you. We'll bless God for you. The last and third is, you've already been saved. You love the Lord. You are part of the kingdom of God. But you're looking for a covering. You're looking for a church home. You're looking for a place where you can be taught, you can be cared for as a child of God, and you can be held accountable to the faith that you claim. You see, I want to make Berean my church home. You're a student. You're from out of town, but you say, I want to be under watch care of Berean. I want to transfer my membership. I want to participate in the service. I want to be active. I want to be involved. You're from out of town. You haven't found a church home yet. You just moved here. And you want to be a part of us. Can you just get out of your seat and come so we can pray with you and welcome you and give you the warm Berean welcome? And we'll take your name, your number, and we will begin to pastor you. We'll begin to look out for you. And we'll put you to work too. If you're here, I'm asking you to come. Come quickly. Come quickly. Let's do that. Come quickly. God, I'm praying right now for that young man, that young woman. I know there were a couple of them here today that say, yes, we want to. God, we want to confirm it. We want to sign it on stone. We want to be there for them and there for you, God. I pray for that boy, I pray for that girl, I pray for that man, I pray for the woman who hasn't made a decision to follow you all the way, who is struggling with something, who is thinking, I need to get it fixed before I come in. God, let them know they don't have to fix it. You are the fixer. God, move in this place right now. Move the heart of your people. And God, all your children who suffered so much loss, no families who suffered, friends who suffered in this flood, or some other things that they are dealing with, God, I pray that the selection that you've made for them to go through, you will back it up with sufficient grace for them to make it to the end. Bless us, God, we pray in Jesus' name. And the people of God say amen. Say hallelujah. Come on, put your hands together and bless the Lord.